The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What up, world? Welcome on all to another episode of The Ocho, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's bloggingtheboys.com. My name, RJ Ocho. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on The Ocho. It is Friday, November 15th, 2019. You've been working for the weekend. It's finally here, the last day before you get there. It's been nice and cold, getting a little bit warmer, at least here in San Antonio. And, you know, I like it. I mean, you know, in San Antonio, we don't get a lot of cold weather, but when we do, it's always, you know, people enjoy it and stuff. But it's been like 4 days in a row. It's too much. I can't handle it all. It's got to warm up soon. I can handle like a light sweater, but I'm tired of my hands being cold every time I'm outside. So I know, obviously, we talk Cowboys all the time, but this story is going to dominate the weekend and, you know, spilling into next week when it comes to just anything NFL, obviously what happened on Thursday Night Football. And I'm going to be honest with you. So sometimes I record Friday's episode of The Ocho before Thursday Night Football, right? And, you know, like that happened a few weeks ago with the World Series and stuff, and it made me look kind of dumb. And so sometimes, you know, you do that and whatever. I mean, life is busy, so sometimes you have to take the moments you get. I was very busy on Thursday. We had a high school game on ESPN San Antonio. And so I was there, got home, finished the game, had myself a Whataburger, and oh my goodness. Now, I'm a Texas Aggie, all right? Texas A&M, my school, love it. So huge Myles Garrett fan, obviously. It was awesome when Johnny got drafted to the Cleveland Browns. And Myles Garrett, you know, has always been a great player. But what he did on Thursday night was trash, and everyone's going to be talking about it, how long he should be suspended, Marquise Pouncey. I mean, it's just, it was a mess. I don't know that we've seen anything like that. I mean, and, you know, there's going to be a lot of examples, and I know a lot of Cowboys fans are kind of bringing back the Albert Haynesworth situation with Andre Garrod back in 2006 when he stomped on his face, and I'm not saying that that wasn't bad or that the situations don't compare. My point in terms of we haven't seen something like this is that this was a primetime game. I mean, this was Thursday Night Football. The whole world was watching, and you know, it's not something that just got buried in the middle of a bunch of games is what I'm saying. And so that everybody saw that it happened right at the end of the game, you know, as all the talk shows and everything, all the, you know, post-game things were getting ready to go. I mean, this, prepare yourself. You're going to read about this. You're going to hear about this. You're going to listen to different shows talk about this, like this one, although we're not going to get too into it. I mean, you know, lots of takes. Mason Rudolph started it. I mean, clearly there are people at fault here besides Myles Garrett, right? Like, there's nobody's denying that, or no, I haven't seen anybody with a take that's, oh, Myles Garrett is the only person who should be held responsible here. I mean, there's a lot of blame to go around, but the majority of blame certainly lies on Myles Garrett. I mean, I don't think it's hard to disagree with the take that Myles could have seriously hurt Mason Rudolph by slamming that helmet on. The other thing is, I mean, obviously that's the more aggressive part, but getting your helmet ripped off has to just feel terrible. I have no idea what that would feel like. I've said this before, like, I didn't play high school football, so I really don't know. But that has to just feel awful. But anyway, I mean, just a huge story that's going to be everywhere, so felt the need to mention it. Thursday was, you know, not a quiet day for the Cowboys, but they're back to work, obviously getting ready for the Detroit Lions, and another injury report, so we'll get into that here in a second. And I don't know. I mean, this is starting to feel, you know, I don't want to say like normal, but it felt like this was going to be a heavy week for the Cowboys when the week began after the loss to the Minnesota Vikings. And I really, you know, the more we look at it, I mean, it is, you know, I always like kind of bring up Friends, and shout out to Bree, by the way. Bree sent me a great Instagram message, listener of the show, talking about the third day reference. There's another Friends line where Joey talks about being so far away from something, this metaphorical line, that the line is a blur in the distance. And the further you get away from a bad loss like the Cowboys had to the Minnesota Vikings, the more it becomes a bit of a blur. And so the Cowboys obviously moving towards a new game on the road against the Detroit Lions this weekend really kind of helps in that perspective. But we'll see. I mean, they're 5-4, and if they don't get to 6-4, I think people are going to be pretty upset. In terms of Thursday's injury report for the Detroit Lions, there was limited participation for the following players: Will Harris, Ty Johnson, Sam Martin, the punter, again, abdomen injury for him, Romeo Okwara, and Darius Slay, a limited participant with a neck injury, according to the Detroit Lions. No practice for the following players: Deshaun Hand, Damon Harrison, Snacks Harrison, of course, Matthew Stafford, no practice again, and Rick Wagner, offensive tackle. Full participation in practice for the Detroit Lions from Danny Amendola, John Atkins, Mike Daniels, Miles Killebrew, and A'shaun Robinson. So, you know, that is what it is. But when it comes to the Cowboys, that's obviously what you care about a little bit more. The biggest injury for the Lions is undoubtedly Matthew Stafford. The following Dallas Cowboys had limited participation in practice on Thursday: Amari Cooper. That's kind of normal. I mean, we've grown to sort of see that's Amari's routine. Cam Fleming, again, we'll see if he's able to give it a go. CJ Goodwin, Jeff Heath, DeMarcus Lawrence. So, you know, I think all those, the only one there's a little bit nervous that you should be nervous about, I think, is Jeff Heath. Also limited participation for Zach Martin, and limited participation for Antoine Woods. No practice for the following Cowboys on Thursday: Lyle Collins, that one's, you know, worth keeping an eye on, certainly. And no practice for Connor Williams, as previously mentioned. But he is on the injury report nevertheless. Full participation on Thursday for the following Cowboys: Michael Bennett, who was back, was excused. Jason Garrett said it was a family issue, so hopefully all is well for Michael Bennett. Michael Gallup was a full participant in practice, as was Sean Lee. I would expect, my own personal guess, that Sean Lee will not practice on Friday. That's kind of been his routine. And full participation for Tyron Smith. So that is, that's good, right? I mean, like, you know, always a good thing when your good players are practicing. And we do, and we have seen the Cowboys kind of balance, you know, rest for veteran players, and you know, Deshaun Lee's and Tyron Smith's and everybody else kind of fall into that category. So that's good, good to see. So again, I mean, the aggressiveness of this week really has slowed down. I think people are calming down, or people are just moving on. That's really where we're at when it comes to the Cowboys. And you know, and I was thinking about something. I wrote about this, so depending on when you're listening, it may or may not be out at blogontheboys.com by now. The next 2 weeks are probably going to define this division race, right? Because we all know, we all agree, the Cowboys are either going to win the NFC East or they're not going to be a playoff team. That's what it's going to come down to. Same thing for the Philadelphia Eagles. And the next 2 weeks, there are 2 weeks left, by the way, before Thanksgiving. So this is week 11. So week 13 is when Thanksgiving happens, the Thursday of that week. And so I really believe that ultimately we could look back in about a month and a half and say, you know, those last two pre-Thanksgiving weeks, that's what ultimately decided that. And because if you look at the remaining games for the Dallas Cowboys, they're obviously tough. And you hear so, I know you've heard this somewhere. The Cowboys schedule down the road, or the remaining schedule for the Cowboys, is much tougher than it is for the Philadelphia Eagles, okay? So the Philadelphia Eagles, their next two games, we've talked about this. They've got the New England Patriots at home on Sunday. Both teams are coming off of a bye. And then they have the Seattle Seahawks at home next Sunday. Now, remember, that Seahawks game was supposed to be on Sunday Night Football. Now it's at noon Central Time, so it's a little bit early for the Seahawks coming from the West Coast. But, I mean, it's fair, right? I'll say this. if 2 weeks from now, the Philadelphia Eagles, who are 5-4 currently, were 5-6, we would not be surprised, right? And it's not an indictment against the Eagles. That's just they're playing the Patriots and Seahawks. Those are two of the, you know, what, three best teams in the NFL currently? Two of the five best teams, if you want to go really far. I mean, they're two of the best teams is the point. And so those are, if you look at the Eagles' remaining schedule, the last two sort of they'll probably lose those games, save for the Cowboys game in Week 16. These are the following games, I should say, are the remaining schedule for the Philadelphia Eagles. So they have the Patriots at home on Sunday, the Seahawks at home next Sunday, and then it gets really easy. They're on the road at Miami in Week 13. That's the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Then they host the New York Giants the week after on Monday Night Football. Then they travel to take on the Washington Redskins in Week 15. They host the Cowboys in Week 16. You knew that. And then they finish Week 17 on the road against the Giants. So, I mean, you look at those seven games remaining. Patriots are tough. Seahawks are tough. Cowboys are tough just because it's Cowboys-Eagles. The other games, the other four games for the Eagles besides those three, you got the Giants twice, the Dolphins, and the Redskins. And so I think it's fair to say they'll win those four games. They're 5-4 right now, so that puts them at 9 wins, right? I mean, you know, obviously football is football and anything can happen, but that puts them at 9 wins. And you're banking on, if you're the Cowboys, them losing to you. So that puts them at 9 wins with two other possible games in the Patriots and Eagles. And if they lose those two games, and I think it's fair to say they might, I mean, that could be huge. And I'm on record for this. I actually believe, and a lot of it is that I'm going to be there, I do believe the Cowboys are going to beat the Patriots. I've said that a few times, and the reason I think that is because it would be so Cowboys of them to do it. I mean, it would just be the most classic sort of Jason Garrett Cowboys thing for them to go up to New England next Sunday afternoon, you know, in the afternoon slot, and the whole world watching America's Game of the Week on Fox, Buck and Troy and Aaron Andrews, and just go get this big win, right? And let's say they beat the Lions on Sunday, this Sunday, right? That would put them at 7-4, right? After the Patriots game, hypothetically, if they did manage to win both the Lions and Patriots games, that would put them at 7-4. And similarly to how this weekend everybody's going to be talking about Myles Garrett and the Browns and everything, if the Cowboys won their next two games in a row, the whole world would be talking about them the next Monday morning. All right, the Monday before Thanksgiving would be all about, oh, the Cowboys are a Super Bowl contender. I guarantee they'd be like in top five in power rankings. Like, it would be unreal if that happened. And then you know what will happen? Because again, I'm talking, it's the most Jason Garrett Cowboys thing of all time. They'll lose to the Bills on Thanksgiving. And then it'll just be this meme, right? It'll be this thing like, oh, they can beat the Patriots, but they can't beat the Bills. And they lost to the Jets. You know, think about that. If they lost to the Jets and Bills, but beat the Patriots, like, that's the most, you know, Cowboys thing they could do at this moment. So I really believe that that's going to happen. But so the thing is, the Cowboys really kind of need to win these next two games for a lot of reasons. And I mean, number one, you got to win as many games as you possibly can, right? But it's possible if the Eagles do beat the Cowboys, right? That would give, and let's assume that the Cowboys beat the Redskins in Week 17, and let's assume that the Eagles win their next division games, which are two more against the Giants and then one more against the Redskins. That would mean both the Cowboys and Eagles finished with 5-1 records in the NFC East. They both obviously beat each other, and then it gets to a point of conference records and common records. And you think, the Eagles, they beat the Packers that the Cowboys lost to. Ooh. That sucks. The Eagles, they beat the Jets that the Cowboys lost to. Ooh, that sucks. But you know who the Eagles lost to? The Detroit Lions. And you know who we're saying the Eagles would hypothetically have lost to? The New England Patriots. And so if you're the Cowboys and you can go even the score, you can beat two teams that, and again, we're assuming the Patriots beat the Eagles here. If you can go get those two wins, you help kind of narrow this situation a little bit. The Eagles obviously beat the Bears. The Cowboys still have to play the Bears. So, you know, that's one thing. But, I mean, these next 2 weeks could very well, I think the three most important weeks left in the season for the Cowboys are these next two and then Week 16. Those are the three most important weeks left in the season, and I say that knowing full well that the Cowboys have other weeks where they have to travel to Chicago to take on the Chicago Bears, and they have to host the Los Angeles Rams. Those are huge weeks as well, but perhaps not as big as this week, next week, and Week 16, when they play the Detroit Lions, New England Patriots, and Philadelphia Eagles. All three of those weeks, by the way, feature road games for the Cowboys. They've been a great road team at times under Jason Garrett, so we'll see if they have three big wins left in them. This is a bit of a shorter episode on Friday, because I know it's Friday, you got things to do. You're a busy person. I mean, I don't know. You're watching Disney Plus. I still haven't seen The Mandalorian. I just, man, how does stuff happen, right? Like, there have been, I'm recording this late Thursday night, and at this very moment, my plan is to find a way to watch The Mandalorian before I go to bed. And I promise you, I will fail, because just something will come up and I won't be able to, and I'll fall asleep and it will be another day that I haven't seen it. It's just, life is busy, man. Life is crazy. And I know that, and you know that, and we really appreciate you taking the time in your crazy busy life to make some time for us, for Blogging the Boys and for our podcast and stuff. We appreciate you hanging out. You're good people, and we enjoy being a part of your life and having you be a part of ours. So make sure you subscribe to the Blogging the Boys podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple devices, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Google Play. You can ask Alexa. We're everywhere. And if you need a link, if you need anything, you can always shoot me an email, rj.ochoa@espnation.com. You can shoot me a DM on Twitter or Instagram. I'm at RJ Ochoa on both. But above all else, you know, you just kind of have the best day ever. All right? Have the absolute best day ever. I'm tired of you not having the best day ever. All right? You just kind of have the best day ever. If you're in the mood for some high school football on Friday night, we do have our next game. We do have the Madison Mavericks and the Stevens Falcons going. Pregame starts at 7 o'clock. That's 1250 ESPN San Antonio, 94.5 FM. On the go at ESPNSA.com. Jason Minix and I will be on the call. It's been a very busy week at ESPN San Antonio. Been a very busy week here at Blogging the Boys, and been a very busy week for you. I know. Again, you're a busy person. You don't have to tell me. You're a big deal. I know that. Trust me. I know. I got you. So have the best day ever. And again, you asked, we are listening. We will get you another Saturday episode. I want to make sure that you're prepared for whatever your Saturday plans are. So with all that being said, we'll see you manana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys, and peace out.